The boss, he's looking for me. He says it's time to go to work, but I'm out on the sea. Please leave your message for me.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and I have on the line the lovely Trish Purcell, and she's the Southern California Marketing Coordinator for Cal Parks Company. Now, Cal Parks is not part of the state of California, but they have parks throughout California. And, gosh, how many do you guys have throughout California and Southern Oregon?
We have about 28 throughout California. We have one property up in Oregon.
Wow. Well, that should pretty much cover it, huh?
Yeah, right. I'd say so.
And then we also have Will Clare that's on the line with us. It's going to share a little bit of information. But, you know, I'd like to ask, maybe you live in California or maybe you don't. But, you know, summer's coming up and Memorial Day is not too far away. And it's time. We've had some in the West, in California in particular, we've had a couple of very dry years where it was, you know, not a whole lot of water in the lakes. But this year, even though we're not completely out of the drought, you guys seem to have plenty of water in most all the lakes, correct?
Yes. We are really excited about that. Shasta, which has been really low, is we got a lot of water, and things are really looking up in the north and in the south as well. We also have water, and we've done a lot of fish plants, so we are looking forward to having people joining us outdoors and coming fishing and hiking and camping.
Okay, well, let's put it this way. If you're in California or not in California, why don't you give a rundown on what you find in different areas without being too specific? So, you know, starting in the south, you've got Diamond Valley, which is an incredible, incredible facility. It was actually built as a reservoir, but when they built it specifically as a a fishing mecca with structures, and you guys are planting trout in there. So if you want to go, you know, catch fish, that's a good place to go. And then up at Hemet, which I know that Will is very familiar with.
We may have lost Will.
Oh.
Will, are you there?
Not a problem. But as long as we don't lose you, Trish.
Yep, I'm here.
Okay. But anyway, and then as you kind of work your way up, depending on what it is that you're that you're looking for, you guys got it covered. Now,
yeah.
So kind of give us an idea about your operation, and you know, you have mostly marinas at different lakes and rivers.
Yes, we do. So we are a park concessionaire, so we have different types of properties. But for the most part, our properties, we have a lot of lakes. And so I'm going to start a little bit in Southern California and just touch on a few properties. We have Lake Gregory, which is in Crestline in the San Bernardino Mountain Range. Beautiful area. We actually have our Lake Gregory Classic Trout Derby happening Memorial Weekend, but it's a great place for families to come, or if you are a fisherman and you want to get out, it's a fantastic location. We have Lake Hemet, which is a fantastic campground, so you can have your RV, you can bring your tent. We also have vacation rentals. Just a fun place for families to come. We actually have some nesting bald eagles, which are beautiful. And then we have our Diamond Valley Lake in Hemet, which is really a world-renowned bass fishing lake. We have water in it. We haven't had our private boat launch up for the past year, so we're really excited to have our fishermen come back and enjoy our lake.
Hey, Trish, I have a surprise for you.
No, what is it?
I've got somebody on the line that you might like to talk to.
All right.
Will, would you mind coming with us?
Oh.
Yeah, hey, Trish, sorry about that.
Hey, where'd you go?
Our engineer is a magician. He put him back on. But,
all right.
Anyway, Will, what we were talking about is kind of working our way up through some of the different areas that you fish, but we don't have a lot of time to mention all 28
right.
of them. So give us some kind of some, let's just say that all I want to do is go camping.
Sure.
I wanted to go camping. Yeah, there's some great locations within this company. Big Basin is one of them in Santa Cruz Mountain. You can do up in Manzanita Lake in the Laughlin Volcanic National Forest. You have Shasta up in Shasta and Trinity. Comanche's great. They do tons of camping, dry camps, and some RV camping. Lake Mount Tamiano in San Antonio in the Monterey County. In Paso Robles, they offer lodging, marina facilities, and camping. Also, we have Lake Gregory here at Crestline down in Southern California and Lake Hemet.
Well, Shasta has got to be one of my favorites. If you've never been to Shasta, let alone Lake Shasta, it is absolutely beautiful. Clean air, tall trees, green, and the lake itself is a true gem. What would you find at Shasta?
So something special that we have at Shasta that we actually don't have at any other location that we're trying to include is glamping, which is basically these full set-up big tents that are fully furnished for you.
I'm sorry, what was that term you used?
Glamping. It's like glamorous camping.
Glamping, okay.
It's a great great thing that they offer there at Shasta, and it's a new thing. Kevin Turner is our GM up there, and he's great with it. They were a new test run as of last year.
And what kind of boats do you have at Shasta?
They offer a bunch of different ones. We don't manage the boating operations, but there are kayak rentals, motorboats through other agencies on the lake. Since it's such a large operation, we maintain the gates and the camping facilities at that location.
Well, they have actually houseboats up there, too, on the lake, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Yeah, so if you want to go up there and whatever you want to do. But the variety of what you have, the main thing is, you hear about it all the time, but take them out. Take the video games away and go out and find out what it's all about. You can experience nature in not virtual reality, but experience it in reality.
Yeah, unplug and play, get your hands dirty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's time to get those kids out and reconnecting with the outdoors. So that's something that we really, really promote within our company and getting it out to the community.
Yeah, no, it's just, and it's the thing. If you just want to go by yourself, that's fine. If you've got a fishing buddy, that's fine. Or if you and your significant other are interested. But if you've got a family, really, really, it's important to get them started to really appreciate and understanding the outdoors. And all of your lakes are in premier areas that and most of them are in areas that there's plenty of round with national forests and parks and county parks that you can really enjoy. Yeah,
that's
so
right.
Whatever your proclivity is, if you if you just wanted to come up with a bedroll and a backpack, that's fine. or if you've got a 36-foot fifth wheel, then they can accommodate you. But let's talk about a little bit about how to get in touch with Cal Parks and how easy is it. And you have a website that gives more information?
Yeah, we do. It's really easy to find us if you go to calparksco.com.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a tab that says locations. It actually has a map, or you can just take a look at the pictures. And they're all of our URLs are there, so you can take a look at a lot of the different things that we have to offer, and just go right from that website.
Wow! Yeah, no, just pick your trip because it's you can make reservations ahead of time, right?
Absolutely. And in fact, we really recommend that you do that, especially with Memorial Weekend coming up, and a lot of the fun holiday weekends, we definitely get booked. So if you can reserve,
well, that's the thing.
Great.
A lot of the county and state parks, it's difficult because either don't take reservations or they're already booked. But if you go to Cal Parks, I'm sure that there's some place that you want to go that they can help you out with.
Absolutely.
So it's Cal Parks Company, not a part of the state. It's calparksco.com, right?
That is correct.
Oh, that's an easy one. Well, we very much appreciate both having you guys on. And Trish, I hope that you're feeling a little bit better.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
You do have a husky voice that way, so I wouldn't worry about it. And Will, I'm sure that we'll be in touch with you shortly, and we'll see if we can get you guys back on as soon as we can. But right now is the time. Call and make your reservations. It's summer's here. Let's go. All right. Thank you, guys.
You are
listening to Fish Talk Radio, and go to fishtalkradio.com, and you can listen to the show, and both of you guys can too, by the way, as many times as you want.
First named La Paz in 1566, the fourth largest municipality in Mexico still has a provincial Mexican atmosphere. On the Sea of Cortez, the most biodiverse body of water in the world, La Paz has year-round world-class fishing. With a rich history of pearls, pirates, and legendary fishing, La Paz in Baja Sur makes for the perfect fishing vacation. Spring in La Paz, you catch trophy pargo, giant yellowtail, and sierra. Find more at VivaLaPaz.com. Viva La Paz!
The East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll-free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
Join us at Villa del Palmar in the islands of Loreto for a world-class fishing adventure. Compete for thousands of dollars in cash and prizes. Choose from three packages, a three-night stay for two in a deluxe studio room, fishing tournament fee, entry into the golf tournament at the new golf course, plus awards dinner. Non-anglers can choose up to four services at the resort's award-winning spa and wellness center. The Dorado Fishing and Golf Tournament begins June 29th and runs through July 2nd. It offers opportunity to catch Dorado at peak season with an entry fee of just $375 per person based on a team of four. All-inclusive packages that include meals and beverages, even an option with round-trip airfare on Alaska Airlines from Los Angeles to the islands of Loreto. Packages start at just $800 per person based on double occupancy. Come experience the luxury of Villa del Palmar at the Islands of Loreto. Visit us at Villa del Palmar, Loreto.com, Dorado 2016.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
The East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
I went on down to my favorite fishing hole. Around I got myself a pole and line. Caught a line, found catfish on the bottom. Came, I got it. Took them home to mama by supper time. Sink many fish bites if you got good bit.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio. And we had a great segment with Cal Parks Company that operate 21 different facilities for hunting, fishing, camping throughout California and up into Southern Oregon. And so since we're on that theme, we have invited to have Steve Lynch, who's a guide up in Oregon, and he was recommended by our friends at Procure. He was going to be on. He can. I said, well, who else do you have? And he goes, this is the guy. Give Steve a call. So, Steve, give us just a brief history about what you do.
Okay, let me thanks for having me on. My last name is Leonard, Steve Leonard. Lynch is with Procure.
Oh.
So Steve Lynch is the manager Procure. And I'm Steve Leonard with Steve's Guided Adventures.
Boy, what a faux pas that was. But okay.
Right.
I'm going to have to talk to my secretary and get that sorted out. She's fired.
That's all good.
But anyway, give us a quick rundown on your history and what you're doing now.
My history is I live in Washougal, Washington, right on the Columbia River. I live nearby what they call the Columbia Gorge National Scenic Area.
Wow.
Started fishing at a young age of 7. My neighbor was an average sturgeon angler, had his own boat. He's a concrete finisher guy. He would take me on the weekend and kind of got me introduced to it. Since that time, I've fished for the past over 35 years. I've been guiding full-time for 15, and I've been guiding these waters for over 23 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to be talking about sturgeon in the throughout the program. The next guest that we have coming on is Henry, that's written a bunch of books, and we want to talk about sturgeon, which is a very mysterious, interesting. And I was thinking this morning, I thought, how many people that are listening has ever caught a sturgeon? I would guess it's less than 0.5% of the people listening has ever caught a sturgeon.
Yeah, and that's probably true. I do a sportsman show in Sacramento, California.
Mm-hmm.
I get a lot of people to come up in California because they're used to fish in the bay and different places down there for that one bite for the day or several days for a bite. And there's some guys obviously are more avid and have a little better success. But when they come up fishing with me and we can, you know, the big fish will get 2 to 4 a day, or these 4 to 5 6-footers I'm catching right now. I mean, we can catch 30 to 40 a day right now.
Wow. Well, sturgeon is such, I mean, it's, well, first of all, it's prehistoric. Apparently, it's been around for something like 450 million years.
Yeah.
And I was just reading an article that I think the oldest sturgeon that they can verify was caught in the 50s, and it was 152 years old. And that is prehistoric. So we can certainly understand why they're protected. And if they can live that long, I wish I could live that
Absolutely.
Long.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's why they've been around for so long, because they've been able to, you know, withstand all the different climate changes and, you know, management with sea lions and predation, different things that they have to go through, you know.
Mm-hmm. But we're going to be talking about sturgeon, so let's talk about something else. Fishing your area, where the Columbia and its tributaries and some of the rivers and some of the fishing that you do and like to do in, besides the sturgeon.
Yeah, so what I'm doing is I do salmon, steelhead, walleye, which a lot of people don't know we have on the Columbia River.
Walleye? I thought that was the East Coast.
Everybody thinks it's East Coast or Midwest. I got fantastic walleye fishing from Portland, Oregon, east. 100 miles is where we're fishing, and there's some trophy fisheries in there. My biggest one this season was 12 pounds, but there's a lot of fish. My biggest is 17. So it's for walleye fishing. The guys that want to come up for those panfish or that white meat, it's a very, very good fishery.
Hmm.
But I do all the tributaries for salmon, steelhead, for my jet boat and drift boat. So I do all the small streams for fly fishing, additional gear. And I cover a big area. Plus, I do the Willamette and other tributaries that dump into it around the Oregon, northwest Oregon area, from the Oregon coast all the way up to the mouth of the Columbia River.
Well,
so I cover a big area and chase these fish where we need to be.
Steve, we're going to bring Henry Hughes on the line, which is going to be in the next segment. But we thought he'd like to listen in, and maybe he can learn a few things.
Yeah.
And if he's got any questions, Henry, don't be afraid to ask. But Steve is a guide, and we talked about salmon, and now we're talking about, did you know there is walleye in the Columbia, Henry?
Yeah, they're one of those introduced warm water fish, I guess, that are, you know, making it good out there in the city. That's great. I wonder if Steve catches any of those, or if he ever use them for bait, maybe for a sturgeon. I don't know.
No, there's way too good at eating for that. I got other baits that I use for sturgeon fishing, but
that's for sure.
I use American shad, stuff like that, that come in the rivers. But no, I catch a lot of walleye, mainly target them in the springtime for me, then back in the summer after the post-spawn period. But there's some fantastic walleye fish. I jig and troll worm harnesses and crankbaits for them.
Great.
Yeah.
Below the dams.
Well, the Columbia River is very interesting, and people that don't know it and understand it, I mean, it's basically the Mississippi of the West Coast.
That's correct.
And
so its average flow is like 300,000 CFS.
That sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
But I remember as if I'd grown up as a kid, and they told this story about this ship that was about a mile offshore at the mouth of the Columbia, and they ran out of water. And so another ship was coming by, and they tried to hail it so that they were kind of stranded there. And they said they needed water, and the other boat says, "Well, put your bucket in the water."
Yeah.
The fresh water extends, that's how big it is. But,
that's right.
And it also, well, of course, the Snake is one of its major tributaries, and that, you know, from the mouth of Columbia to headwaters of the Snake has got to be, what, 1,500 miles, something like that?
Yeah, it's a long way. I'd say 1,200,
mm-hmm.
a long way to the east side of the state.
Mm-hmm. But you've got a lot of tributaries. Well, you got a lot of rivers. Some of them are tributaries.
A lot of rivers.
Yeah. So
it's west of the Mississippi, basically, or the, I'm not going to say the Rocky Mountains that come to the Columbia River.
Mm-hmm. But names real quickly some of the other your favorite streams that you fish, starting the Columbia and going south.
So heading south would be the Clackamas. I have the Sandy River just east of Oregon. That's a premier pristine river. It's a drift boat river in the upper part, jet boat in the lower, and that's for salmon and steelhead just outside of Portland, but it gives you the real outdoor Pacific Northwest feel to it. And then I do the Willamette. I do Oregon coast a little bit. Tillamook Bay and the Halem Bay is primarily what I do in Oregon. And then I go east of Portland, the John Day River for steelhead.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do the northern, or actually southern Washington, which would be north of Portland, just across the Columbia. I do the Cowlitz River. That's a premier salmon steelhead river. It's a big river. Like, we get 25,000 spring Chinook salmon coming in right now. That's a lot of fish for a small river. It's probably the size of Sacramento, but maybe a little bit smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do the North Fork of the Lewis. I do the Klamath River. That's a premier steelhead stream from drift boat. And I do my hometown river, the Washougal. And then you go east of me, and I do a river called the Klickitat River.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful river, runs about 50 miles just east of the Cascade Mountain Range off the Mount Adams Wilderness.
Wow.
And it's a premier, mainly fly fishing water, because it's just a lot of 6-foot flats and drifts for nymphing and swinging flies. And then if you want to do some float fishing and spinner mm-hmm. fishing and stuff. But
now, you do guiding. Do you specialize in flies, or you like people that just like to catch fish?
I specialize in guys that like to catch fish.
Mm-hmm.
I work with some guys that are very avid fly guides. That if I have that guy that's looking for that, I can definitely get him with the right people that work mm-hmm. for me. Otherwise, if I got a guy that has his gear, I know a lot about, that want me to get him into the fishery, get him into where the fish are at, I can absolutely take care of him on that.
So where you are, all the rivers you're talking about are within a couple hours?
Yes, to within 2 hours of Portland, if not within 1 hour.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. Can I ask a question of Steve?
Fly to PDX.
Steve,
yes.
You are covering some amazing water. I've got to ask you, as fisheries rise and fall, what do you think are the best prospects right now or for the next year for some of our best fishing?
For what fishing?
Just for some of our best fishing. I know sometimes, fisheries rise and fall, and we're talking about maybe a negative projection for some salmon. But what do you think is our best fishing? What's happening right now and maybe in the next few years?
I think right now the cycle that we're going through up there and what we're fighting with up here in the Pacific Northwest is some people that ain't believing in the hatchery programs. And we have conservancies up here that are suing these hatchery programs. And some of these people ain't even avid fishermen. They don't even fish. They use it for a tool. So some of our hatcheries are getting sued upon for permit reasons, research reasons. That's taken them a while to get this permitting done to be able to release these smolts that we need to release. Last couple of years in the Puget Sound area around Seattle got hit hard. They couldn't release any fish.
Wow.
Other tributaries like on the McKenzie River that feeds in the Willamette, they used to plant 1.4 million smolts. They were gotten a lawsuit from a conservancy group, and they can only release 300,000. And they're fighting to even keep that. So that it's very frustrating that we're having to deal with this at the moment through the Pacific Northwest, because it has such rich streams. And I've seen it from the 80s and 90s and we just came through a really good trend of great water. I mean, the water conditions is everything for us. Even though we have the big Columbia River, we got to have the flows.
Right.
And this last summer was so hot that it killed a lot of the fish. The adult females couldn't make it back to the spawning ground and stuff. So you see those cycles happen, and it's with our spring flow that we have to get these baby salmon, smolts, and steelhead to the ocean so these praying fish and birds don't get them. They're finally doing a lot with the cormorant birds we have up here that have just exploded. They got islands they put at the mouth of Columbia River.
Yeah, that's usually farther south. I know they had cormorants up there.
Major issue with cormorants.
Well,
taking care of some issues with
good. Well, we're going to have to take a break, but we do have a 12-minute segment coming up, and we're going to be talking primarily about one of the most interesting fish and probably the oldest by many terms, and actually it is the largest fish in North America, or certainly the United States.
Yes,
Yeah. So we're going to find out about that.
Freshwater fish.
Yeah, so if you want to hang on for
absolutely
a couple of minutes, we'll do that. You are listening to Fish Talk Radio. By the way, you guys can listen to it as many times as you want on fishtalkradio.com. We'll be right back with you.
Thank you.
Join us at Villa del Palmar in the islands of Loreto to experience an incredible world-class fishing adventure and compete for thousands of dollars in cash and prizes. The Dorado Fishing and Golf Tournament begins June 29th through July 2nd and offers an opportunity to catch Dorado during its peak season with an entry fee of just $375 per person based on a team of four. Located on the Sea of Cortez, known as the Aquarium of the World, the islands of Loreto are known for their calm indigo waters and nearly 1,000 species of fish. The Islands of Loreto offers guests the chance to hook their next big catch, including striped marlin, yellowfin tuna, grouper, and dorado. Please join us for the Villa del Palmar's first golf tournament on the spectacular new world-class golf course. Come to experience the luxury at Villa del Palmar at the Islands of Loreto. Visit us at Villa del Palmar, Loreto.com, Dorado 2016.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAJA.
The road stretches for miles in front of you, and with the Ram 1500, you'll be able to reach mile after open mile. It gets a best-in-class 25 miles per gallon highway, so your destination won't just be determined by your gas gauge, but by your gauge for achievement. And the Ram 1500 is the first ever back-to-back Motor Trend Truck of the Year. Guts. Glory. Ram. See your local Ram dealer today for great deals. EPA estimated 25 mpg highway based on V6 4x2.
If you like the show you are listening to right now, you can listen to it and many more just like it on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors, 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online to see the lineup and schedule. That's Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. And enjoy the great outdoors.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to REEL funadventures.com.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio. And, gosh, we're having such a good time today. We're talking about California, the CalParks company with all the marinas, 28 different facilities. You guys got to come to the West Coast, or if you're there, come on, get out. You know, put the video games down and maybe even take the cell phones away from some of them. But and instead of experience it in virtual reality, just go out and experience in real reality. But we have on the line with us, we have Henry Hughes, who's an author. We didn't get a chance to talk about that. And then we have Steve Leonard, who's an Oregon guide. And Steve was giving us an idea about some of the different rivers that he fishes up there. Yep. And one of the things that we want to cover today, which is something that's very interesting that we alluded to, I think in 1953, one of these fish was taken and analyzed, and it wasn't even that big. It was only like 6.5, 7 feet. And they calculated that fish was 154 years old.
Incredible.
Now, what kind of fish could possibly live that long?
Right. A white sturgeon.
Yeah.
Yeah. I figured it'd be bigger than that at that age, because I do my trophy trips up here. We're averaging, 7 to 9 feet in length.
Well, they can grow up to like 12 feet, right?
Sure. Yeah, I get a 12 probably once a season, once every other season. My largest is 14.
Whoa.
We've had a few of them on. We've never got to the boat with straighten the hook out, the 12-aught hook or 10-aught hook.
I would imagine.
And the guys are wore out in the boat and they're into it. You know, we got good equipment. I'm using Lamaglass rods, Power Pro heavy braided 80-pound line, and some big Shimano reels, and we got the right gear for it. I actually made a fighting chair that I can fight with him that makes it easy on the clients and on the fish. And
well, we can get 14 feet would have to be, what, 200 pounds or something? I don't know. How big would
yeah,
it be?
Yeah, our average fish would be 150 to 250.
Yeah.
But those big fish, if you get a 12-footer, their range, they can push over 450. You know, we have no way of weighing them. We can't take a lot of water.
Right.
Get some great photos.
Well, you just...
But they're very strong fish.
Yeah, you hook one and tie it off to the cleat and hang on, right?
It's a fish anybody can catch, too.
I mean, obviously, Steve's an awesome guide, and he's bringing in a lot of fish. But, you know, I've had people go out in rowboats at Oregon City, you know, and hook into a fish that tows them around. And catch and release in the Willamette right now. So with the barbless hook, it's good, clean fun, and people take videos and photos and... It's one of the most exciting fisheries, I think, happening right now. It's in the Northwest. It's so awesome.
Okay, well, let's talk about the sturgeon and fishing for the sturgeon. They're there, but I would say that it's almost like a ghost fish because, you know, there's people that fished them for years and never got one. Yeah, but why don't you, if you
these
could.
These fish, it's amazing where you can find these sturgeon at. I find them anywhere from 6 feet of water, 4 to 6 feet in. Little mud flats, sand flats, where there's clams, freshwater clam beds, 150 feet of water, and at the same time of the year, no rhyme or reason. Other times they are in certain depths of water where they migrate to the mouth to these for all the rich food down there in the summertime. But it's just amazing where you can find these fish at, and how sometimes they're all like in the Willamette, like he's talking about earlier. There's great fun in the Willamette because that's where all these fish pull in out of the Columbia during the winter months, and there's probably over 100,000 fish right now in the Willamette system. It's been shut down for us to retain them for the last 3 years. The numbers have really built up, and that's a good thing. It's a management practice to get these fish over that spawning size of 6 feet where they need to be for them to start spawning because of the sea lion predation.
So it's an incredible fishery. From what I understand, most of the waters, it's a catch and release, but there are some waters you can keep, but they have a slot limit,
Yeah, the slot limit's above the dam right now. The pool's above the dam where these fish have been transplanted years ago on a barge program, and then they have their own ecosystem going up there where they spawn naturally below the dams and other places, so they have their own spawning occurrence up there, so they don't have to transplant anymore up to, and they just manage it.
Let's talk a little bit about catching sturgeon. Now, they're kind of a bottom feeder. They don't really have teeth. Yes. It's kind of like a catfish, right?
Yeah, they have a sucking mouth. They have a kind of a suction mouth that collapses
suction
down.
Mouth.
And they can taste outside their mouth. They have taste buds around their mouth, their barbels. And that's one of the things I'm sure, you know, Steve can talk about. I've had that pole, you know, kind of shaking. I'm thinking, oh, there's a fish there, and have a friend grab it, and, oh, nobody's home. You got to really take your time. That's one of the keys to hooking a sturgeon is that getting that hook
very
set
subtle.
Right, because they'll really examine the bait for a long time.
That's right. I know the guys in California use balance beams and stuff because it's such a gentle bite. Up here, we have tide fisheries, so sometimes there's no current running where there is current. They're more aggressive when there is current. But we get a lot more aggressive bite. But like he's saying, there's sometimes in these soft water areas, some days there's just a subtle bite. You wouldn't even think it. It could be a six-foot fish is barely mouthing that bait.
Mm.
It's so incredible.
A lot of fun, a lot of action.
It's a lot of
and
action.
They are bottom feeders, so it's very relaxing.
In the city, in Portland, we go downtown. Watch the beautiful, you know, skylights and, you know, have a cocktail and catch small sturgeon. We call them shakers.
Yeah.
You can catch 50 or 60 and carefully release them. Again, barbless hooks. The kids love it. It's a great, fun, urban fishery.
Wow. Let's talk about catching them. What you normally use bait, right?
Absolutely, we use all bait.
And what kind of bait do you use?
Depending on the year, but pretty much fresh squid's always good. Pickled squid. Hmm. We use a sand shrimp, which is also called ghost shrimp down in the California area.
Yeah,
I've heard about. They compare those two. We use smelt that migrate in like January up here, and we dip them in the rivers. We use night crawlers, which are earthworms, and then just a combination of a pickled herring and a vinegar pickle brine that they call roll mop,
which
is really good in the summertime. Some guys use crappie. It just depends on what you want for that time of the year.
I've had luck, too, with the shad, which is a nice combo.
Yes,
we go catch the shad this time of year, which is a lot of fun. Catch them on a spinning rod, a fly rod, put 20 shad in the boat, and take some for crab bait. And cut those up, and that's what there's a high mortality rate for these shad.
We're talking about catfish. They usually like kind of rotten, stinky bait. But sturgeon like
the
fresher.
You don't have to for sturgeon. Yeah. I know the old timers have had it where they tied their baits up and had them hanging in the coffee can with a lid on it, open the lid,
turn
the bait out, and shut the lid really quick. But we have such great success not doing that. I'll take the clean route.
Yeah, me too. I'm up for fresh bait. I really believe in that philosophy.
Mm-hmm. Well, so,
but yeah, it's a great fisher, and you can catch them on different baits on the same day. And one day, like right now, I used to do a lot of herring fishing for salmon. All my leftover herring is brined in a saltwater brine. I just save them for the sturgeon fishing. I just, there'll be days we'll salmon fishing. We'll just pull over, throw the anchor, grab my sturgeon rods out, and use the same bait we're fishing for
well,
salmon.
Well, let's talk. Yeah, let's talk about the technique a little bit. Do you, when you're searching for a sturgeon, do you drift? Do you anchor, or what do you do?
We anchor. We move around and look with your graph, and you can see them on the graph. We're looking for like drop off ledges in the hole. Usually your best place to find them.
Mm-hmm.
Other places we've hit them on the clam beds, you just never know. They're harder to see because it's shallower water, so somebody just got to drop the anchor and start fishing for a little
well,
bit.
From what we
look around for the structure on the bottom.
Yeah, from what I, little bit that I know, I think they like to hang out in the deep holes, and then they'll come up the ledge, you know, looking for food.
Sure. They're on those little, that so you want that food, you congregate that.
So you want to fish the drop off of a ledge of a hole in the river.
And one thing, maybe Steve can confirm this, I think it's important to keep that bait really stable. They have enough weight, and I use a very short leader. So that thing is swinging around in the current, or if your boat's swinging around, I found that you can really miss them. So I put out sea anchors, I get really stable, or a double anchor, and get that bait down there and holding steady, and I find I'm catching more sturgeon.
That's correct. And even when I get in my rougher water areas, I have a softer laminar glass rod that I use with a soft tip on it, so the waves are getting rough, it absorbs the shock of those waves and keep that bait subtle on the bottom. But like the great point that he's talking about, have enough lead to keep it on the bottom. Now, we use a different gear setup that we use in the Columbia River than they do like in the California area, because they use a lot of 100-pound mono line for their leaders, and they think that the barbs, which are scoots on the sturgeon, cut the braid or you know, type of deal. But we use a Dacron leader. It's a, I use 130-pound. They're not leader shy. So if I had a big fish, I broke the knife.
Well, you say the teeth can fray the line? I thought they didn't have teeth.
They have armor.
No,
armored skin.
Scoots. There's these little barbs on the side of the fish. They're on the top and on the side.
Okay.
And they can cut the leaders. I've never had a fish cut the leader with these scoots or these barbs they have on them. And this braided line that we use as Dacron is very nice for half-hitching baits. It's a lot of neat things for it, but it's just a different gear that we use up here in the Northwest than they do down in the California Bay Area. Okay.
Excellent point. And also handling them, be careful. Those scoots that Steve described, they can be sharp. And I've taken a small cut from one, but it's really a shark-like fish. As you said, John, it's a very ancient fish. I mean, they really haven't changed. We have fossil records going back 150 million years. This fish is...
A couple of things I want to bring up. The beluga sturgeon, which you normally find Russian, the caviar.
Right.
From what I understand, you know, there's a shortage of it.
Correct.
And you have a problem with poachers because, you know, a sturgeon, the roe from a sturgeon, how much is that worth on the market?
I've got an article right here saying 300 to 500 an ounce.
500, yeah.
And so what do you get, about half a pound out of a sturgeon?
Yeah, and I don't know. No, I think, it'd be more than that.
Wow. So that's certainly a temptation. But
they're 6 foot in size when they're spawning.
Yeah.
You know,
well, obviously they've been around for a long time. And if we're responsible, they'll be around for another 450 million years.
They're doing research in the Columbia River when I catch my big trophy size fish. And I remember they checked me one day. I had a 10-foot sturgeon, 420 pounds they estimated it at.
Yeah.
It was a female. And they had tagged her 3 years prior and cut her belly open, a little incision, and sucked eggs out of her.
Oh.
And they were clear. They said that she hauls, she'll carry them eggs for 3 years. And that year, I turned her into them. They took her from me when we're done. I took photos that they cut her open and she had black eggs in her. And she was going to spawn that season.
Wow.
Brilliant.
For 3 years, she carried those eggs.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, guys, it's come to that time. But we really appreciate that, Ez, and there's all the more reason to come to California and Oregon, and there's some great fishing almost anywhere. And if anybody wants some help, I'm sure that we can help fix you up with Steve, and he'll take you out, and he catches fish.
I got a website. It's stevesguidedadventures.com.
stevesguidedadventures.com. Perfect.
Right. Steve, I'm definitely going to look you up. And
By the way, I'm sorry, Henry. You've got a couple of books that we didn't mention. So,
I've got a new book, Backseat with Fish. It's a fishing memoir brought out by Skyhorse. And I've got a couple anthologies I did with Random House.
Right? Go to Jerry Hughes, H-U-G-H-E-S, Henry Hughes. Google that and find his books. He's got some great stuff.
Thank you,
guys. I appreciate it.
Honey, that sounds like rain. Hurry up, woman. Get the youngest. Let's go.